Baseball Central and the Sportsnet Radio Network is brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, it's Baseball Central for a Labor Day weekend Friday. I am Jeff Blair, joined by Kevin Barker. As always, we are brought to you by Home Hardware. Big show today. John Gibbons, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, joins us. Tony Peña, bench coach of the New York Yankees, longtime major league catcher, and a guy who had the grave misfortune of managing Kevin Barker in winter ball. Actually, that's not true. You were a stud in winter ball.
That's what they said.
You hit a crap load of home runs, and that was for Aguilas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah.
He's a really good manager.
Tony's, and one of the interesting things about Tony Peña is Tony Peña played every game in winter ball, I want to say for 13 or 14 years in a row as a player. He would come back from playing all the games of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he played a ton of those games, and he would play every day in winter ball. I remember going down to do a story. He was right up there with Felipe Alou and people like that in terms of being loved by the Dominican baseball fan.
I'll say two things about him. He's a very nice man. You know, it's very hard for American guys to go to the Dominican and play there just because it's far away and it's hard to play there. It's just the way it is. And he opened his home. He used to have all kinds of cookouts and food for the American guys, and it's just a lot of fun. And then I also remember his son was a catcher, and he would, before like 3 or 4 hours before batting practice, he would be out just chucking balls as hard as he could at his son, blocking balls, and it's just his work ethic is unbelievable, and it just trickles down to his sons. And man, he was a lot of fun to play for. He's a lot of fun to watch play, just because of his energy and the way he went about an everyday job. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot from a guy like that, knowing, because it's a lot harder to play in Dominican just because of where you're at and how it takes to play there every day. And it was a lot of fun playing for him.
I love the way Tony Peña used to like do the spread eagle thing to catch. He used to catch from his
He is crazy. I don't know if you've ever seen him throw BP or not, but it's really firm and right down the middle. I used to love taking batting practice every day because he would throw every day. He's that guy that would throw every single day because it made his team better. Yeah. He wanted to win every game in winter ball, which is hard to find. And it's just, I just love playing for guys like that. Just, you know, it's a lot of fun.
He will join us because the New York Yankees are in town for a 3-game series. Your last chance to see Derek Jeter in a Yankees uniform in Toronto, unless there's a playoff game here or something like that.
Could happen. Could happen.
And so we'll talk to Tony Peña about that.
What do you think they're getting Derek Jeter?
I have no idea. Hopefully it's something more than an Eskimo carving or something like that. Something a little more original.
I'm going to say it has something to do with hockey. Like a jersey or a...
See, they were going to get Mariano Rivera, I was told, custom-made goaltending pads with Yankee pinstripes because of saves, right? Saves leader, you get a guy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That would have been good.
Yeah, why didn't it happen?
I don't know. I don't know these things.
A really, really good one. Never thought of that.
I come up with good ideas every now and then.
Well, you didn't come up with it really, right? You're just mentioning it because you heard it.
But I said I thought it was a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
I'm taking credit for it. The Jays did not play last night. Therefore, of course, they didn't lose, but they're 5.5 back in the wild card standings. Oakland, Detroit, Seattle tied. The Yankees 3 back in the wild card standings. Cleveland 4. Toronto 5.5. Then Tampa Bay is 8. It'll be Mark Burley on the mound for the Blue Jays tonight against Chris Capuano. You can, of course, catch the game right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the Orioles continue to win, beat the Tampa Bay Rays 5-4 last night, and Baltimore is now 7 ahead of the Yankees with 30 games remaining. Andrew Miller, they picked up at the trade deadline, with tossed 1 2/3 hitless innings. The Cleveland Indians are just kind of very quietly motoring along. Mm-hmm. They beat Chicago 3-2. Kansas City lost 11-5. To the Minnesota Twins. So the wild card picture continues to take shape. We've said already that it'll be Derek Jeter's last weekend in Toronto, barring some sort of playoff. The Jays are honoring him with a pregame ceremony, a pregame presentation before Sunday afternoon's game. Keep that in mind. And Kevin, we talked a little bit about this in Primetime Sports yesterday about a ball player's view of Derek Jeter, and more importantly, a ball player's view of the longevity of Derek Jeter's career. And as far as we know, Derek Jeter hasn't been connected to any PED use. And someone pointed out, you know, you've watched him this year. He's 40 years old. This is, and he looks like a 40-year-old guy. He's getting to ball, or he's not getting to balls that 40-year-old shortstops aren't supposed to get to anymore. But it's still remarkable to watch him play. And it's still remarkable to see his approach, isn't it? He's still inside basically out. He's still the same guy.
Well, you have an approach. You know what you can do and what you can't do. And he knows exactly what he can do. And it's pretty cool. He spent half his life with the same team, same organization. You know, it's kind of, obviously it's his family. And it's going to be real tough, I'm sure, for him. It was tough for me when I had to give it up. And I can't imagine what he's going to go through when you don't go to the ballpark every day. It's a different feeling. It's just, when you wake up, it's different. And it's going to be real tough. I'm sure he's going to be involved somewhat doing something with baseball. I'm sure it's going to be with the Yankees. But, you know, when you don't play and you're giving it up, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a different, you know, just feeling for him every day. But, man, you can't argue with what he's done and who he is and where he's done it at. That's the most impressive thing to me. You can forget about all the numbers, which are great, and all the hits he's got, which is great because, you know, almost 3,500 hits. That's amazing. It's where he's done it's the most impressive thing. You know, I never was fortunate enough to play in places like this, but it's very hard. Just everything other than baseball happens in New York, and he's dealt with it like no other guy has dealt with it and played very well on the field. It's very impressive. You can't say a bad thing about him.
No, and the thing with Derek Jeter as well is, you know, he obviously, as he got older, he became less of a defensive player. The only thing I've ever taken away about Derek Jeter's defense, and I know there are numbers out there that, you know, that show you that, you know, that his range has never probably been as good as a lot of people have thought it was. And there is there's a legendary element to Derek Jeter as there are to any players who play for the Yankees for a long time or even the Boston Red Sox. But I think back to an interview Don Zimmer gave during one of those Yankees World Series, and it was between games, and a bunch of us were doing a story in Derek Jeter, and sort of the tone of the story was his range is diminishing. The stats guys will tell you that it never really was that good, blah, blah, blah. So we started talking to Zimmer about Derek Jeter's defense. Okay. Tell us about his defense. And Zim, God bless him. Zim said, you know, he has a pretty big reputation. A lot of what he's getting, a lot of the accolades that he's getting come from his reputation. But Zim said he is the best I have seen at one particular play, and that is the bouncer behind the mound. He said, I have not seen a shortstop that makes the plays he makes coming in on a ball. And it was kind of interesting because most of the time you talk about a shortstop and they double, well, he's got range to his right, range to his left. Excuse me, he's got a great throwing arm. But Zim was very particular.
Sure.
He was very particular. And he said that particular play, I think the question put them is, when you're done, what will you remember about watching Derek Jeter play for so many games? He said that ball behind the mound.
To me, I think he invented the throw, the ball between shortstop and third.
The hop throw.
Yeah, the hop throw at but the routine play, to me, how many guys make the routine play all the time and make the great play on occasion? That's Derek Jeter, too. He makes the routine play. That's what you want a guy to do, because most of the time, the guy that makes the spectacular play doesn't make the routine play all the time.
Yeah.
Well, Derek Jeter does. He makes the routine play, the ball right at him, the ball one step to both sides, throw the ball to first base. He makes it, you can guarantee it's all the time. That's all you can ask for from a guy.
And what I also what I also find interesting about Derek Jeter is there are players who have got big reputations. You talk to guys off the record about them. They're like, he's kind of, Derek Jeter keeps getting accolades on and off the record from guys who are still in the game. And, with all due respect, the people are hammering on Derek Jeter. I'm going to take the opinion of a guy who's faced him as an opponent,
right,
or played with him as a teammate, over somebody sitting in a press box passing judgment.
Yeah, I'm not real sure how you can talk bad about him. I don't understand that.
Well, it is a thing, too. It's a thing. It's a thing to be anti-Derek Jeter. Yeah. It just is. It's a thing. And, in some ways, it's a numbers guy thing. But it's also, it's been kind of trendy for the past 7 years to be anti-Derek Jeter.
I mean, if you're an athlete and you played any sport whatsoever, and hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports, you can say what you want. It's very hard from a guy that didn't do it all the time like myself to a guy like Derek Jeter that both does it more times than not. That's very impressive to do, and I get back to it again. It's where he does it and how he does it and how he goes about his everyday thing. I think that's impresses me the most. It's just, you never heard a bad thing about Derek Jeter. You don't hear that he doesn't run balls out. You've never heard him not, being benched because he's not hustling. Anything like that that has to do with anything that happens on the baseball field, you never hear a bad thing about Derek Jeter. That's what baseball's all about. That's what you want to do. How you go about your 162 games, and then how you go about October, November. That's what's going to set him apart from everybody else. You can say what you want about he doesn't make the spectacular play. He can't go three steps and dive in the outfield, throw a guy out in the area. You can say what you want. He makes every play the way he should make it, and he does it in huge spots. That's what sets him apart from everybody else. And I'm not saying he hasn't had opportunities, because he's played with one of the best organizations ever in baseball, and he's had lots of opportunities to do that. And, the more opportunities you have, the better you're going to have at making those plays. And, man, he's made them more times than not. You can argue what you want, but numbers don't lie. 3,500 hits is a lot of hits, man.
Tony Pena will join us at 12:40. We'll talk about Derek Jeter. Really looking forward to that. John Gibbons in a few minutes, but it is Friday, so we have to. Not that we have to. We enjoy doing this. The Ask the Experts segment brought to you by Home Hardware every Friday. And in other words, I get to ask the question, and the expert I'm with gets to answer it. Today's question comes from Carl. What's the biggest surprise on the Blue Jays this year? Very simple, very straightforward
very
question.
Right to it. Well, you know how I like Mr. Cabrera in left field. I wanted to go that route. And the more I thought about it, I think I'm going to go with Jose Bautista. And I'll tell you why. I think it's because... That's surprising a little, but I think we've argued this. This may be his best year, and we'll say it as all the things around him that's happened with Edwin Encarnacion going out, him having to carry the load, him up until that one episode with the umpire when he ran his mouth. Pretty much he's kept his mouth shut, goes about his everyday business. He does what a leader does, and you can say what you want about where you play and whatever. It's hard to be the leader. It's hard to be the guy that answers for the whole entire team. He's done an absolutely wonderful job of that this year, unlike other years that you've noticed him doing things. And how he does, he goes about his everyday business. And, oh, by the way, he's had 25 home runs 5 years plus in a row. You can't say enough good things about Jose Bautista and what he's done, not only on the field, but what he said about the team and the organization off the field. It's big league. It's professional, and he is no doubt the leader of the team. So I'm going to go with that being the biggest surprise. I don't know if it's a big surprise, but it's a surprise to me just by what, how he's acted on the field with umpires and arguing. You can say what you want to say about it, how if it's bad, it's good. Well, he's competing. He's the guy that everybody looks to because of what he does on the field. But this year, I think he's toned it down because that's just the way it is. You tone it down because you have to, because it's the best thing for your team. He's done that. So to me, that's the biggest surprise.
My choice for biggest surprise would be Drew Hutchison. I have to admit, I had a lot of skepticism about this guy's ability to stay healthy. And, we saw the home road issue. But the last start, I've seen three starts from him this year where he has battled his way out of issues,
sure,
where he's made in-game adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
I think when the season's over, this is going to be the year of the young pitchers in Toronto. We're going to be talking about Stroman. We're going to be talking about Hutchinson and, to a certain degree, Aaron Sanchez. Hutchinson's ability to stay as healthy as he stayed,
mm-hmm,
and pitch the way he has pitched, that to me will be the biggest surprise, the biggest takeaway from the year. It's a very good question from Carl.
Thank you, Carl.
A reminder, by the way, to submit your home hardware, ask the expert questions to sportsnet.ca/experts. And now we're going to go to our favorite expert, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons.
Gibby, what's up?
What's up, boys?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Getting ready to face the Yankees?
Oh, yeah, ready for the Yanks.
Hey, Gibby, let me ask you this. As a guy who played and a guy who you've managed against Derek Jeter, obviously this weekend, Derek Jeter's last weekend in Toronto with the Yankees. What's your takeaway in Derek Jeter's career? Like, what's the first thing you think of when people mention the name Derek Jeter?
Well, Jeff, you know, obviously you look at what he's accomplished on the field. You know, he's going to go down as one of the all-time great players, you know, producing year after year for his entire career, and he's done it for a long, long time. But I think, you know, he's always viewed as one of those guys that, and it's rare, but he does everything right. You know, he's been, you know, really almost the face of baseball for a number of years now. And, you know, he just, you know, when the league needs something, you know, he's kind of their model guy. But, you know, really, the baseball always comes down to, it doesn't matter what kind of guy you are, is how you perform on the field. Nobody's done it better. I mean, he's played the toughest position in the game for 20 years, and he's done it, you know, as well as anybody and better than most.
John, what part of his offensive game stands out to you? You know, we always think about Derek Jeter and that classic inside-out swing. I think most people in baseball will sort of, I mean, that'll be the memory that'll linger of Derek Jeter offensively. But what's he like as a hitter, and what was he like as a hitter in his heyday?
Well, you're exactly right when you talk about, you know, that inside-out swing. Yeah, he's got that classic swing. And what it allows him to do, I mean, he can take those nasty, tough pitches on the outside part of the plate and fire those to right field, and he can also take that good hard fastball that guys try to attack him inside, and, you know, balls that you wouldn't think anybody can get to, and he can still fire those to right field. And the thing is too, I mean, he's hit his fair share of home runs in his career too, so I mean, he's you know, he can burn you that way as well. I mean, he's had some big home runs, some crucial home runs at times. So he's really just a tough out. You know, if you look at the Yankee teams over the last decade or so, and, you know, when they were in their prime, really, and winning all those championships, and, you know, they were a very, very disciplined-type team. You know, they really almost, I guess you could say New York and Boston, the highly disciplined teams that kind of everybody started to follow. Well, you need to grind out the pitching staffs, get to the middle relievers, those kind of things. But, he was a little different, though, too. I mean, he'd come up there and ambush you right out of the gate on first pitches sometimes. So, yeah, I mean, you really had to be careful with him. I mean, like I said, he wasn't necessarily known for home runs, but he could still burn you or run some balls in the gap. He was really just a complete player and, you know, really a model for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Gibby, I have to – you mentioned pitches, and I'm going to mention pitching tonight. Mark Burley's pitching against the Yankees. And I was looking up numbers, and these numbers shocked me a little to notice that he is 1-12 with a 6.15 ERA against the Yankees. And I couldn't really know why that is. So I'm just going to ask you, do you have any reason or idea why that is?
Well, I mean, you know, you look at the Yankees over the years when those, you know, all those numbers were occurring, you know, they've always had some of the better hitters in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most of it comes down to, you know, certain guys, whether it's an individual or a team, have success against certain individuals or a team. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. And then there's certain instances where there's certain guys that they can't touch you.
Mm-hmm.
You can just dominate certain players and then certain teams as well. That's just kind of it's kind of the way the game works. And, you know, when you've been around as long as Marquez, I mean, you face players over and over and over. And that's kind of been, the Yanks have kind of been his nemesis. Well, I look at it this way. I think he's overdue, you know.
Sure.
That'd be an understatement. But, you know, I got a good feeling he's going to go out there tonight and, you know, when we need it and throw a great ball game.
Mm-hmm. John Gibbons joins us on Baseball Central. John, we were asked by a listener for our biggest surprise on the Blue Jays this year, and I know we still got a month left. And mm-hmm. you know, Kevin talked about Jose Bautista and just how his emergence as a team leader. I was talking about Drew Hutchison and his ability to, you know, keep it together over the course of a season and, you know, overcome. He had that home road split, and he seems to have fought his way through that. Right now, what has surprised you the most about your team this year?
What surprised me? Ooh.
In a good way.
You know what? I mean, that's a tough question to answer, right, you know, on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, you know, what you're talking about, you know, with Hutch and, you know, I mean, nobody really knew what to expect out of Hutch coming out of, you know, coming off Tommy John. You know, he was great in spring training, but, you know, I mean, he's still a very young kid. He just turned 24 the other day, and I'll be honest, I think he's had a tremendous year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's battled through some ups and downs. I mean, he stayed healthy, and like you said, he, his road home splits, I mean, those were extreme for so long, and I think he's overcome that. I don't know if we all knew he was good, but, you know, how he's going to hold up on his first year back, I'm not sure. So that could be a little bit of a surprise. You know, it's kind of been one of those mystery years. You know, we were so good early, and then we started sputtering, and then, you know, we regrouped and got hot again. And, you know, it's been a frustrating year, mm-hmm. you know, for all of us because, you know, we're looking for more consistency. That's for sure. But I will say one thing about this group as a whole is, you know, they're resilient. I mean, we've been frustrating to our fans at times. But, you know, these guys, they show up every day and they compete. You know, we have some games along the way that we look bad and we get blown mm-hmm. out and things like that. But you know what? And when their back's against the wall, they keep playing and make it interesting, that's for sure. But I'd have to have a little more time to think, mm-hmm. think on what the big surprise is for me.
Okay.
Yeah, Gibby, let me ask you about a little bit of a surprise to me. Danny Valencia the other night showed great patience and had an actual really, really good approach, knowing he can't hit a fastball away as good as he can hit a fastball in. With that being said, and with Juan Francisco struggling a little bit right now, as we all know, is there any chance that we're going to see Danny Valencia a lot more in the future, near future?
Well, yeah, you're going to see a lot of Danny from here on out, mm-hmm. no doubt about it. You know, we picked him up, you know, from, you know, the intentions, we'd always seen, you know, Danny good. You know, we got him from Kansas City. You know, I'd seen him early in his career in Minnesota, a lot of talent, played really good against some of the teams I was, you know, when I was with the Royals. And so there's something in that guy, and he's bounced around a little bit lately, but there's still a lot of talent. He's still a young man, and I think he's going to be here, get a chance to be here for a while and help us. And so we're going to definitely give him some more playing time to mm-hmm. let him try to establish himself. You know, we'll pick our spots with who's in there, he or Francisco, depending on the type of pitcher and things like that. You know, Francisco's, you know, he's definitely had his struggles. I mean, mm-hmm. He was so good early on and really, you know, through our big hot streak, I mean, was a big part of that. And, you know, we're hoping that they could catch fire again, you know, but it's been a battle for him. And Danny, you know, has had a tough time against some right-handers, you know, as of late in the last couple of years, so that's kind of the thinking there. But, you know, we need to find out a lot more about Danny. So, you'll probably see a lot more of him.
Mm-hmm. Gibby, have you noticed anything different in Kevin Pillar's swing since he's come back up here for a couple of games? He was talking to Kevin and myself yesterday about how he made some adjustments down in Buffalo to make himself a little quicker through the ball. And I mean, Kevin pointed out that double he hit the other night, that hustling double, he just looked like a guy who was really fast to the ball.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he made some adjustments with his hands. His hands are down in a different position, closer to his body, down a little bit more instead of, you know, up higher, when, like earlier in the year. But the thing you got to remember about Pillar, Pillar's, you know, he was really an unknown when he was drafted. You know, he was a late round pick, and it's probably not a lot was expected of him. He was a tremendous player in a small college in California. So he's always had the ability to hit, but you know, people looked at him, and you know, I mean, they thought, well, take him low because you know they had doubts about him.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since he's been in our minor league system, all he's done is hit and produce, mm-hmm. and been a good outfielder, a good base runner, all those little things. But he's one of those guys that, you know, he's got to prove it. Nothing's going to be given to him. It never has been. And so he's been up and down a couple times, you know, last year and this year. And it's been a tough go for him. But that's not necessarily unusual for young guys trying to establish himself. And the way his playing time during those earlier stints, I mean, it was sporadic, you know, and that makes it that much tougher. But, you know, we fall back on his, you know, what he's done in the minor leagues and what he was doing in Buffalo this year. You know, everybody will tell you that this guy can flat out play, and so you know, we need to find out about that too. So, but I, you know, he's a very motivated guy. You know, we had that little dust up early in the year. I mean, that was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of who he is. I mean, he wants so bad to establish himself, and you know, some of those things you can't blame him. But you know, there's just the simple things he did the other night. You know, stretching that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ball into a double and then scoring with the infield in on Reyes' ground ball and things like that. He has ability to do those kind of things.
Yeah, Gibby, does Edwin look like he's getting closer to you by seeing the ball better?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark, I think so. You know, we brought him back with both he and Lindy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we needed them both back. I mean, let's be realistic. And you know, they didn't get a whole lot of rehab games down there. And so you're hoping, well, okay. You know, they took their batting practice and things like that, but they weren't seeing the live pitching. So the timing, you hope it might be a little bit better, but it, you know, actually, it's that's tough to do. But they're both vital to us here this final month. And I see, you know, Lindy's throwing out his hits, and Eddie's close. Eddie's hit some balls on the screws, but then you know he's been a little off balance, and his timing's been off. But he's definitely due to heat up.
Right.
Gibby, it was good of you to join us today. Thanks so much. We'll see you at the park.
Yeah, good luck, Gibby.
Okay, man.
Take care. That is John Gibbons, manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Got a 3-game series against the New York Yankees starting tonight at the Rogers Center. Pitching matchups for the series, Mark Burley against Chris Capuano. Drew Hutchison, we were just talking about Saturday afternoon, against Michael Pineda. Making his return to the Yankees rotation. He's 3-2, 195 for them. And then Sunday, Jay Happ against one of the real success stories this year for the Yankees, Brandon McCarthy. He's 8-13 with an ERA of 4.13. I'll tell you what, if the Yankees end up continuing this little spurt and somehow manage to make it into the playoffs, you will be able to point to the acquisition of Brandon McCarthy as one of the turning points for this
Martin
team.
Martin Prado has a lot to do with it, too.
Martin Prado's been very good.
I argued earlier at the trade deadline that's a real interesting. That could move Cabrera to the fifth spot just down the lineup to give him more chances to drive in runs. But, man, he puts the ball in play, hits behind runners, and all of a sudden he's starting to hit home runs. Man, that makes it tough with the pitching they're having coming back. It's going to be a tough series for the Jays.
Yeah, and the Yankees look really well positioned to make a bit of a run here. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tampa's kind of flattened out right now.
Ichiro's starting to hit, too. I think
Ichiro.
He's hitting .407 in the last 10
Ichiro
games.
Just kind of came out of – you weren't even looking. Man. I was watching part of the Yankees game against Detroit the other day. You know, you kind of try to pay attention. I looked at Ichiro's numbers. I thought, what the hell did that come from?
Well, you know what it means right there by looking at that guy? It doesn't matter how it looks, as long as your bad head stays in the hitting zone a long time, you get hits. That's what he does. He looks – very uncomfortable. It looks like his swing's all over the place. But if you notice when he makes contact, how long the bat head stays in the hitting zone is just sick. That's why he's got all kinds of hits, man.
Yeah, it's almost like Gumby when he's at the plate. I mean, doing all sorts of stuff, but somehow at the end of the day, he can be three feet down the line towards first base, and the bat head's still in there. But that was always the thing with Ichiro, is he had that knack of being able to get out of the box. He was almost out of the box a couple of steps in the bat.
It's not something you're going to go and teach your kids.
No.
For sure.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, but it works for him.
Yeah. And you'll get to see Ichiro Suzuki tonight as well. It really should be a good series. And again, the Jays are going to have a presentation to Derek Jeter before Sunday's game at the Rogers Center. Tony Pena has had a chance to see a lot of good baseball players up. Coach, longtime catcher, former manager, longtime coach. He's now the bench coach with the New York Yankees. And Tony Pena is set to join us when Baseball Central continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays versus Yankees. Tonight at 7. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central for a Friday. We are brought to you by Home Hardware. I am Jeff Blair. The gentleman to my left.
Happy Friday.
It's Kevin Barker. Happy Friday.
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day in Toronto.
Yankees are in town. Meaningful baseball.
Derek Jeter is all good.
It's awesome.
First place would be nice.
Well, I mean, perfect world.
Your Buffalo Bisons, the Toronto Blue Jays AAA affiliate, clobbered Scranton Wilkes-Barre 11-3 last night. They are a game and a half out of a wild card spot in the International League with three games left in Rochester this weekend. Kendall Graveman went to 5 1/3 innings, gave up 7 hits, 3 runs earned, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, had to sit through an unbelievable inning where his teammates just, I mean, it was criminal what they did to Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
I'll say this, Rochester's very hard to play in. It's very hard to see the ball there and hit. I just know that from experience because I probably played 250 games in Rochester. Right. And the first 4 innings, it's terrible.
It's the sun.
Yeah, it's like in and out, and it's like shadows, and it's just very, very hard. The pitchers are at a great advantage there. So if you can score 3 or 4 runs in the first 2 or 3 innings, you got a good chance of winning.
Well, let's see what the Bisons have in store for them tonight. Anthony Gose was 3 for 5 with a run, a double, his 4th home run, 6. That's right, 6 ribbies yesterday in that win. AJ Jimenez 2 for 5 with a home run. Dalton Pompey 2 for 4, 3 runs scored and a couple of ribbies. And Dan Johnson 2 for 5. With a run. So the AAA Buffalo Bisons continuing their pursuit of the International League wild card spot, as we said, a game and a half back with 3 games left to play this weekend in Rochester. We wish Gary Allinson and the boys a lot of success.
He's a good manager.
The Jays may have to postpone some of those September call-ups for a while if the Bisons can grab that wild card
spot. Sounds like some hitters are starting to figure out their swings, too. It's pretty cool.
Well, you know, you'd like to think that Anthony Gose at some point is, we talked about Anthony Gose so much.
We have. The only thing he needs to figure out is strike zones. What can he hit and what can he hit? Other than that, don't worry about anything else. That's the only thing. Swing at strikes, but what can I hit and what can I not hit? If he can't hit everything. And when he comes to the big leagues, he tries to hit everything. Well, you can't do that. The guys that pitch against you are in the big leagues because they get guys out. Well, you know, half it up, split it up, figure out what you can and can't hit. If he can do that, man, he can get on base. He'd be in the big leagues a long time.
It's kind of a funny little story yesterday. Jesus Montero, the Mariners catcher, who was acquired in the Michael Pineda deal, he had a near altercation at a Northwest League game with the fan that was heckling him.
I know it.
The thing is,
Jeff, who was heckling?
The person who was heckling him was the Mariners cross-checker. Mariners scout was heckling him, and he tried to go in the stands after him.
Is that a joke?
No, that's serious. That stuff doesn't happen, does it?
I think he's kidding.
You ever gone into the stands after
him? No, I don't.
You ever come close?
No, I think it's funny. I know my first time I played in Boston, they're real good at heckling people. And, you know, my last name's Barker. Bob Barker's real, you know, it's funny. Yeah. You laugh about that. Well, I was getting worn out there because I went from Boston to New York. Yeah. And the first time I ever played outfield in the big leagues was in New York and right field. Yeah, you can imagine that. You ever been there?
Yeah. I've actually sat out there.
And your last name's Barker. So as soon as I would come out of the dugout, it was just full force. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's fun. You tip your hat to them and When you turn around and say something bad to guys that say things about you in the stands, it gets worse. Just laugh it off and, you know, my paychecks are big. It's fun. It's funny. You know, it's, you got to laugh it off. It's baseball. I think it's fun.
I'm trying to picture a scout.
Me too. That's very, to that's confusing.
Heckling.
That's why I say it's not a joke. That's not fun. Like, it's, he's not kidding. Maybe he was kidding and he took it the wrong way.
Just, I don't know.
Does the cross checker have a job still?
I don't have that dad in front of me. I don't have that dad in front of me.
Because that's not his job, right?
Well, no. Unless part of his job is trying to figure out how the guy, maybe they're trying to figure out how the guy reacts to criticism.
So not very well.
I don't know. Yeah, apparently not.
Check that off the list.
on an entirely, makeup, not good. Yeah. On an entirely different plane, Yusmeiro Petit set a major league record yesterday. He retired 46 batters in a row, not in one game.
Mm-hmm.
But the San Francisco Giants, ended up going on to beat Colorado 4-1.
That's amazing.
It is. We talked the other day, a couple of days ago, about David Price giving up nine mm-hmm. consecutive hits. This is the flip side of that.
Well,
46 consecutive.
Yeah, it would be something outs. If this guy threw 105 miles an hour and had a devastating breaking ball, but he doesn't. And the only reason I know that is because I played in the Caribbean World Series with him, mm-hmm. and he's a guy that pitches everywhere, which means he'll do a spot start. He'll come off the – he'll be your long relief guy. He'll be your closer. He'll be your setup guy. Whatever it takes, he does it. That's what I'm saying. So it's – I know that he doesn't have outstanding stuff, but he has good enough stuff. But that's an unbelievable stat to have 46 guys in a row retire, because let's face it, you're facing the best hitters in the world.
And you're facing them in August when they figured it out.
Yeah,
these guys, the swings aren't funky. Okay, maybe there's the dog days of August roll into it too, but at this point you're pitching for a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. You're facing guys who are locked in. You could almost see that early in the year, I guess, if you've got, but still 46.
That's a lot.
Run into 46.
I mean, you could see like 20-25 because a team has never seen you before and the team after that hasn't seen you, but 46, you're past fooling people, right?
You'd think somebody would just run into a pitch accidentally.
I'd bunt.
Oh, that would be.
Trick. No, you can't. It's like bunting a no-hitter in the seventh inning. You can't really do that, can you?
That's a cool story.
I really like that fan. Because I played with him. He's a super nice guy, and he'll do whatever it takes to win, which is, you know, nowadays guys won't do that. They're either or one or the other. They're not everything. And he's everything. And it's awesome to see. I'm so happy for him, and I hope he retires 100 in a row.
We are waiting Tony Pena, the Yankees bench coach. I'm beginning to think my 15%.
You're
looking pretty good, boys.
Once again, Mr. Blair, you're right.
Looking pretty good.
I just know him, and I thought, you know, hey, I might get the benefit of the doubt, and he call in and help a guy out, you know?
Help a brother out.
You know, but maybe he's really busy. It's a big series. They're making a comeback. Maybe he's throwing BP right now. Can't fault that if he is, because he does show up. The reason I say that, as I mentioned early, he does show up 10 hours before the game.
He actually does. He does.
He's the hardest worker in baseball.
He's like
people
Brian Butterfield. Brian Butterfield's one of those guys for a 7 o'clock game. He'll be in the clubhouse at maybe 11.
I will say that Butter's not a very good BP thrower, though.
No, Butter's
we can cancel that.
Yeah, he's not.
He's the best fungo hitter alive.
Oh, he's done it a lot.
He can put that ball wherever he wants. He can hit it like, you know, around the foul pole and it come back behind you. And, you know,
what else can we say around Major League Baseball? Sad news. David Montgomery, the Philadelphia Phillies president, is taking a leave of absence while recovering from jaw cancer surgery. Pat Gillick will step in the interim basis. Ron Renicky, the Brewers manager, mm-hmm. just unloaded on Mark Ripperger, umpire. And this is a pretty good quote. This is the thing that bothers me. This is the same umpire that we had before, and he is terrible behind home plate. He calls pitches that aren't even close. The catcher sets up 6 inches off the plate. He calls them strikes. I should have been kicked out the last time we saw him. He was behind the plate. I'm tired of sitting here watching the catcher set up off the plate and hitting his glove and calling it a strike. They're balls. So Frankie misses. Okay, it's off the plate this much. I mean, it's really rare for a manager to be that critical
Because it's they're going to get in his wallet.
Yes.
That's why.
And then he says, I probably should have been kicked out in the second inning today as well. It's the same guy. So the Brewers, of course, in the middle of...
it's going to cost him.
Yeah, it will cost him that. What else do we have to talk about? This is kind of cool. Our Travis McKenzie pulled this up, which I find kind of interesting. Justin Masterson, if you remember, was one of the trade deadline acquisitions made by the St. Louis Cardinals as they look to bolster their pitching ranks down the stretch. He's had some issues. Now the Cardinals are going to have him pitch exclusively out of the stretch in Saturday's mm-hmm. start. It's not as odd as you might think. There, Yu Darvish, for example, will pitch out of the stretch first pitch of the game.
Yeah, but he's not Yu Darvish. I think it's more of a they're searching. They brought this guy in to help their team, and he's not doing it. And mm-hmm. now what do? You have to figure out ways to get outs, and he's not doing it. And the power sinker's not power sinking. And when it's not doing that and you leave it up, we've always talked, you leave balls up to big league hitters, bad things happen to pitchers. And that's what he's doing more times than not. And this time of the year when guys are fighting for pennant races and trying to make the playoffs, you do whatever it takes. You have to stand on your head to throw a ball. You do that. That's what he's doing. You have to give him a round of applause for trying anything.
This is a big year for Justin Masterson as well. He's going to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams.
That's what I said.
A lot of teams had interest in him.
Well,
I'll tell you what. He's a guy, as a free agent, he's a guy the Jays will kick the tires in this guy. The Jays will kick the tires in this guy. And
he'd be good here because the ball flies here. He throws sinkers. It throws a lot of ground balls. That's what he's on. Ground ball guy.
When he's on, his sinker's filthy.
Oh, crazy. It's power. Like, yeah. It's like hitting a center block. I faced him in spring training, never faced him in a, we'll say, quote-unquote, real game, but I faced him in spring training, and he's like hitting a center block. It's just that hard feeling when you hit the ball, but when it's not sinking, it's not hard to hit. And I think that's what's happening now. And you try, like I said, you try to invent ways. When teams pick you up for a reason, they pick you up because they think you're good enough to help their team. And right now he's not. You can face it. You can say it any way you want. He's not good enough right now, and they do whatever it takes. Maybe this will work. Maybe this will help the Cardinals.
Yeah, and as I said, he's a guy that if he's out there next in the winter, mm-hmm. I think the Jays will definitely take a shot at him. Mm-hmm. I know that there's been a lot of interest in him in the past on the part of this organization. So there you go. I guess
Tony you Pena were right.
Stiffed by Tony Pena.
That's terrible.
That's awful.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to give people the benefit of the doubt.
No, it's
Happy Friday, so we're going to look past it.
We're going to look past
and move on to...
We're going to move on a three-game series against the Yankees.
Mark Burley's due.
He is due.
John Gibbons would say.
He's been due for about 6 years against the Yankees.
Yeah, well, yeah. 1-12 with a...
Again, the pitching matchups for tonight is Mark Burley against Chris Capuano. Saturday, Drew Hutchison against Michael Pineda. Sunday, Brandon McCarthy of the Yankees, one of the real good stories mm-hmm. this year, is up against J-Hap. There's going to be some good pitching. Yeah. Monday, the Jays are off. Tuesday, they start a three-game series against the Rays, and they go to Boston. So there you go. There's... Continue. It's too bad the American League East title. This would be a good time if the American League East title was up to grabs. Playing the American League East. But
Baltimore's pretty good.
It's not happening. For John Gibbons and Kevin Barker, this is Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us on Baseball Central today. We are, as always, brought to you by Home Hardware. Stay tuned for Tim and Sid. I'll be back doing primetime sports. The Friday Roundtable will have Jays baseball tonight. 7 o'clock on Sportsnet, 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Jays and Yankees, first of three games. Derek Jeter's last series in Toronto as a member of the New York Yankees. Get out to the ballpark this weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you Tuesday.